Today we celebrate the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Why is this family called the Holy Family? Certainly it is not what we would call an ideal family. Joseph is not the biological father of Jesus. Jesus is born in a dirty stable, far away from home. The family must flee to Egypt to avoid persecution. Mary and Joseph even lose the 12-year-old Jesus for three whole days in Jerusalem. It's a miracle that they didn't have child protective services called out for that. Joseph is called a tecton, which is a Greek word that means something like worker or craftsman or maybe carpenter. While scholars argue about what level of skill this implies, it seems that he was not very well paid, as the family is so poor that they can't afford the lamb required for Mary's purification, but instead must substitute the poor person's version, a young pigeon. Perhaps the one normal thing about this family is that the parents do not understand their teenage son. After finding Jesus in the temple after 3 days of looking for him, Mary says, "Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And then scripture tells us, they did not understand him. So what makes this family holy? Well, like all holy things, this family is holy because it is set apart by God as his own for a special purpose. This is literally God's own family. Mary, being the mother of Jesus, is literally the mother of God. God chose Mary before time began to be his mother. Likewise, Joseph has his special role as father of Jesus and husband of Mary, revealed to him by an angel. And finally, and most importantly, the presence of Jesus in the midst of this family makes it holy. The two prophets in the gospel, Simeon and Anna, speak of the way that Jesus will be a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and that he is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel. But at this point, Jesus is still a baby, still unable to speak, to walk, or even to crawl. Jesus can do little more than cry and sleep. A few weeks ago, I spent some time with my sister and her family to baptize her newborn son, who, like the baby Jesus, can do little more than cry and sleep. And I was struck, on the one hand, by how much work, how much blood, sweat, and tears would be needed to bring this little baby to adulthood. It's quite a task, quite a mission, quite a responsibility. But on the other hand, of how easy it was for me, by just pouring a little bit of water, to give him the greatest tool and advantage for this life and the life to come. Baptism, the indwelling of divine life, making him truly a son of God. Mary and Joseph also have quite a task ahead of them, to raise Jesus and to help him to grow, all the while wondering how these prophecies will come about. But in this way, the Holy Family is not too different from my family, or from your family, or from any family. And this is just how God wanted it to be. Jesus, being God, could have taken on human nature, could have become incarnate, in all sorts of ways. He could have just appeared, poof, out of thin air as a 30-year-old man ready to begin his mission. He did not need to have a family. He is God, after all, and he has no need of anything. But God chose to be part of a very human family, to show us the holiness, not so much of his family, but of all families. Or rather, by means of his family, Jesus shows us what holiness is, what happiness is, what love itself is. Because God is love. And that's an easy sentence to say, but a hard sentence to understand. As Christians, we believe that there is only one God. But at the same time, this one God is three persons: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God has revealed this mystery of the Trinity through the family. Father and Son are family words, concepts that are essential to families and that can't be understood apart from family. In fact, to fully understand fatherhood and sonship, one needs to truly be part of a family. It's hard to understand without living that experience. Of course, this is not a strict analogy. There's no person revealed as mother in the Trinity, and those are very important for families. And the Holy Spirit is not exactly a family concept. There's no ghostly brother or mother-in-law in the Trinity. Yet, there is a way in which the human family is itself a gift from God, so that we may experience on earth a sharing in the fullness of love of God in heaven. In particular, marriage, as the ultimate expression of the love between man and woman, embodies the irrevocable and fruitful nature of God's love. Just as the love between Father and Son in the Trinity is so fruitful that the love between them is so great that this love itself is a person, the Holy Spirit, so also the love between man and woman in marriage is so fruitful that it takes on personhood as children. God's love for his people is irrevocable. God constantly uses this image in the Old Testament as a lover who cannot abandon his beloved. And so St. Paul puts a heavy emphasis in the second reading today on the importance of families striving to embody this love, this bond of perfection, this way in which we image the Trinity itself through compassion and kindness, humility, and gentleness, through patience, through bearing with one another, and by forgiving one another. The sacrament of marriage elevates the natural union of spouses to a new holy mode, such that the word of Christ dwells within them richly, so that it is Christ that is at the center of the Christian family, who is that bond of perfection that helps unite us in our weakness. Just as the Holy Family is holy because it has Jesus in its center, so all Christian families, by that sacrament of marriage, are made holy by Christ, which is that bond of love that unites the family. But we all know that family can be hard. Simeon prophesied that a sword would pierce the heart of Mary, and he really could have been speaking about any mother or any father or any child. And so mutual forgiveness is crucial to the family. In fact, I would encourage all families to regularly attend confession together so as to share in the forgiveness and strength that God offers to us through that sacrament. I would encourage all families to pray together, thanking God for the gifts that He has given and asking Him for help to live out those virtues of courage and compassion, kindness and humility that are so important for the family. And if we can do this, then what the gospel says of Jesus will be true of our families. The family grew strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon them.